life in the human form, the universe becoming extremely conscious of itself. My name is Rais DeLuca, and we are back for a brand new season of the Being Centered podcast. I've been gone for quite some time, and I have some thoughts about my absence, and I have some thoughts about the world that I've experienced in my absence. But before we get into that, how are you guys doing? I missed communicating with you all. There's a couple of things that are very interesting and intriguing. One of which, you know, if you've seen the title of this podcast episode, you probably get a good idea of what I'm about to talk about. We're going to talk about digital footprints. And the reason why I want to talk about digital footprints is primarily because I think my digital footprint has made me think deeply about what it is that I am doing at every given step of the way in this journey. And I interpret my digital footprint differently, just as I interpret my actual footprint. Like, I pay close attention to what rooms I walk in and how I feel when I walk into a room, who I commune with and how I commune, where I go and where I've been. I honor every aspect of this journey, as you must honor every aspect of your journey. Where we walk is not an accident. It is purposeful. It is planned. It is divine. It is miraculous in and of itself. And the reason why I correlate that to the digital side is I wonder the same thing about our digital footprints. You know, the places that we explore on the internet and what we do and how we behave on the internet. Where are my manners? Before I get into the heart of the conversation, I really want to ask, how are you all? What is on your hearts? What is on your mind? How have you guys been? I know for me, I've been writing a lot. This is going to be a very writerly year. We're looking at putting out 4 books in the year. And I'm also looking at podcasting the entire way for the first time in a long, long time. And I've been having some difficulties with podcasting and everything. And I've said before on this program that my goal necessarily in this whole thing is not, I just want to do everything on my terms, you know. I like the creation of something. I don't necessarily like the marketing of things. I don't like the commerce aspect of some things. But I know how important capital is in order to get ideas across and get ideas seen and digested. There's a wide world out there, and there's millions of people who need help and resources. And you can't give them those things unless you give them an opportunity to experience you in a novel way. I get all that. But there's always that tug for me between, man, why do I want to do this? And if I do want to do this, how do I do it in a way that it does not destroy or disrupt my sense of self? That is the battle that I'm always dealing with. And that goes into the idea of a digital footprint. I'm very cognizant of what I'm leaving behind when it's all said and done. You know, what a Google search can maintain for your last name. All that stuff is always on my mind. And I wonder if everybody thinks of it that way. I know some people do, but I think about that all the time. So much so that it often paralyzes me into inaction, because I'd much rather not leave any version of a tainted digital footprint behind. The internet is such a vast and chaotic place where it's easy to become negligent of the things that you are participating in. But there's a long spiritual IP address that enters into you when you participate in anything in the internet. Our brains subconsciously absorb everything that we put in front of it. Images are hard to forget. when we play this game of endless and constant absorption. Oh, man. There's so much. But, you know, to start, essentially, I'm trying to figure out the best way. And I think I've come to an equitable version of how I'm going to market my next book. I turned it into the publisher on April 15th. And so they're going to correlate the release date from there. But once it's April 15th, the book 15 Laws of Spiritual Care is going to be out of my hands. And it's going to be time to get the machine rolling. You know, I've taken 4 years to figure out my next direction with my writing, what I want to do and how I want to approach it. It's been a battle in a lot of ways. It's been a tug of war as far as my interests or how I want to roll out my interests or just what interests I want to communicate to the people that are interested in what I'm interested in. What do I think is going to help the most amount of people? And so it's been a real tug of war into these ideas and these concepts. And so for 15 Laws of Spiritual Care, these concepts I've been wrestling with for about a decade now. These are the concepts that really aided and benefited me along my journey on this earth, this short amount of time, but this long amount of time that I've been here for. So a lot of it is just me working through these concepts and delivering them in a way that I believe is going to make the most sense to you all. Some of these things are mystic. I pull together a majority of ideas from Buddhism, Christianity, Islam, Zoroastrianism, Jainism. I pull together everything. Spiritual constants that I've found over my life that maintain no matter what the practice is. And in that process, I've collected a decent body of work that I'm proud of, that every time I put my fingers to typing away a chapter, I instantly feel that this is important. This is an important piece of work. It's my most important piece of work to this day. And so I'm really proud of it, and I'm proud for everybody to get an opportunity to read it, absorb it. I'm going to be releasing an audiobook version of it for the first time, but I'm also going to be releasing a lecture series to accompany the chapters. I'm thinking if I want to do it visual, I'm thinking if I want to do it audio only on Spotify, just chapter by chapter, breaking down the concepts and the ideas, hour long, you know, reading through, highlighting, just a real audio lecture of these concepts, putting them on YouTube and so on and so forth. There was a point in time where I wanted to do an audio visual lecture, a visual lecture, highly stylized, multi-cam. But after a while, I thought, man, I don't really give a freak, man. I just don't care about, I'm not interested in it that way. And so for me, it's always being able to feel my way through what it is that I desire at every given moment. And I believe that is very important for us all to do in some way, shape, or form. Just feel your way through your decisions. And something that I really want to discuss is the idea that in order to find some version of solace in this reality, this very material reality, we have to interface with concepts that don't necessarily give us peace or meaning. And the establishment of meaning is the most complex aspect of being here. We are forever in the process of articulating meaning between ourselves and the material world and asking, what are the trade-offs? What do I have to give off versus what do you have to give off? And I know for me as an individual who is constantly changing minute by minute, second by second, I'm always in the middle of asking myself what matters here, what matters there, and undoing the things that I once thought mattered to me. And I do this every single day. Every single day. I am undoing something. From every person I communicate with, I am learning something. And I mentioned this in the beginning of the book, and I will always mention this for the rest of my life. I have learned so much from every single person that I have spoken with and to over this, how long has it been? Over this 4 years, I've learned so many things from every single person. And if there is a story that we've shared and it is in the book and you do not want it in the book, I apologize. But just know I've redacted names. I've changed names, removed names, but I apologize if there is something in there that is sensitive to you and we can have that conversation. But I had to be truthful and be honest. And the main thing that is just so baffling to me as a person who is experiencing a physical existence here. How do I want to put this? There's a concept of nihilism that, which is essentially the idea that nothing matters. You know, when I was a wee 21-year-old, was I 21? No, I was 23. I was 23 years old, and I was sitting in one of my undergraduate courses. I think it was about video game engineering. It's a video game engineering course, you know, and in the course we learn all about the storytelling of video games and also the mechanical functions of a video game, why and how video game developers create narratives through the mechanics of the video game, how they structure the video game to make it difficult but not too hard that the player puts the controller down. And I was sitting in this course and I was listening, and this wasn't a lecture point by the professor at all, but I was sitting in this course and I was listening, and I started to suddenly get this wash of emotion over me. And it was a wash of emotion that instantly communicated to me. It was like a loud voice that said to me, none of this matters. Now, in the moment, I thought, well, voice, if you're me or if you're God, whatever it was that was communicating to me, I asked myself, what do you mean? None of this matters. And I really want us all to pay attention to something here. Because when you ask yourself a question, like a real question, a question as though you want the answer to it. And I want to stress this a lot, because oftentimes I always say you have to really talk to yourself. You have to really think in this life. And so you might wonder, well, what is thinking? Well, thinking is an articulated conversation between yourself with yourself. So you present a counterbalance and a balance. You present an argument and a counterargument all within your head to get to an end result. So you do the thinking. It's as if you're having a conversation with a person. You create an avatar across from you, and then you and that avatar interchange ideas. That is the process of thinking. And so when this voice came to me and said, none of this matters, I started to scratch my head. Because I didn't know at what level did none of this matter. I was enjoying the course. I thought the activities that the professors laid out were engaging. I thought the assignments were interesting. I never thought of games this way. But then none of this matters. What didn't matter? Was it the course? Was it what the material was communicating? Was it what the professors were communicating? Was it the university? Is it the city that I live in? Is it America? Is it existence itself? What didn't matter? And then it hit me again. Years later, I left that feeling there. And I remember when I felt that thing, I went telling everybody as if it was an incredible revelation. I was telling all my contemporaries, you know, none of this matters. But I said it as though I had the answer to it. None of this matters. And they were like, well, what do you mean? And I said, none of this matters. But it wasn't in a nihilistic way. It was in a way that I wanted to communicate a version of peace. A version of solace. Like, hey, there's always going to be peace at the end of the tunnel because none of this matters. Then I had to stand outside of my body and realize that that is a very nihilistic way to interpret the world. But it's rational as well. So then I had to figure out, okay, if none of this matters, and is there a way for me to articulate this experience without it being a nihilistic one? And then, only in the last few years, have I been able to truly feel what that means in a non-nihilistic, holistic manner. None of this matters, and that is okay. I recognize that the voice initially that communicated to me that none of this matters didn't get the opportunity to complete the statement. None of this matters, and that's okay. And so from there, I was left with a decision. Well, if none of this matters and that's okay, what do I do with myself as an individual? What do I do with myself as a son? What do I do with myself as a brother, as a friend, as a cousin, as a student, as a teacher, as a writer? None of it matters and that's okay. Well, if none of it matters, it allows for a level of freedom in the experience that you participate in as though everything matters. Because if everything matters, you're in a state of anxiety. You're tight, you're tense. But when you balance it out and say, well, there is no purpose here in this experience, but there is also an incredible body of purpose here. It's having one foot in nihilism and another foot in optimism. And the reason I subjugate nihilism to optimism and I remove pessimism from the equation entirely, because the places that we need to put our feet within, they're not opposites, they're complements. And so let's put this into perspective. Let's say you are a 19-year-old community college student. You don't have a car, so you can't drive to community college. You have a job, but you can't get there. You have to get picked up and dropped off by your cousin Steve, and Steve's car is really dirty. It's a really rink-a-dink putt-putt. It stinks. It's a 2002 Honda Accord. Green. Puke green. And Steve has to drive you around. Now in this moment, you can say to yourself, well, God dang it, I hate driving with Steve. I want my own car. This stinks. This sucks. And you can rue every second of the experience as you are being picked up and dropped off by Steve while having to navigate your community college life, get good grades so you can prepare to go to a four-year institution while also making sure you do well at work, decent enough at work so you get a decent enough paycheck, you don't lose your job because you want your job, really, really, really want your job because you want to buy your own car so you don't have to rely on Steve anymore. And then you need the money so you can pay for your tuition and blah, 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 blah. But all of these things are just interwoven into each other, into one experience. And so when you're stressed out about one thing, they're all interwoven together. So you don't know how to solve your anxiety. They're all connected. Steve is connected to school and school is connected to work and work is connected to money and money is connected to school and school is connected to Steve. It's like, whoa. None of that matters. Do what you can in this life. Get up, walk out, be mindful of your conduct, speak kindly to the people around you, focus, find a job you don't hate. These are the basic things you can do to unravel all of the things that you believe are balled up and creating a sense of anxiety in your life. You just have to start undoing these things and learn that the things that you are actually confused about and worried about and stressed about on a day-to-day basis, the chatter in your brain, the Buddhists call it the monkey mind, that just moves, just never stops. None of it matters. All of it is pointless. You're overthinking everything. You're worried about the wrong things. Do the little things. Call your mom. Call your brother. Respond to the group chat. Give your boss a compliment. Give the random clerk at Target a compliment. Smile. Everything will work out. Everything will work out. And I believe it's important for me to communicate that for one reason only, is because we are interfacing with this life of the internet. And I don't want to be a nitpicker. The internet is a blessed place. And I don't want this to seem like a theme over the course of this podcast, which it won't be. And another change to the podcast. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but we're going to have to start making these 30-minute episodes. Before, I was going an hour long by myself. I used to think, true story. When I first started podcasting, it was 2018. I've been podcasting on and off since 2018, maybe even 2017, 2016. So I've been doing this for quite a while. The reason why I started doing this is because one of my favorite podcasters, probably the best podcaster I've ever listened to, Bill Burr, the comedian, he would podcast for an hour by himself. Another one of my favorite broadcasters, don't stone me for this, Alex Jones. He would be on his program for hours by himself. And it was in watching these two gentlemen that I realized, oh, it's not that crazy to do. I can do an hour by myself just talking into a microphone. And lo and behold, that's what I was doing. An hour talking into a microphone by myself consistently. No guests. Really no topics, honestly. Whatever came to my mind, I discussed. No show notes. No nothing. It'll just be me talking from the things that I am thinking about on that day off the top of the dome. And from there, I tried various iterations of this podcast, whether it's scripted content, written content of various forms, notes, news, you name it. I've tried everything. But the thing about it, there was always a format issue that after a while of doing an hour worth of talking, I just get bored. And I just get bored with the process and the experience. So it's always been trying to figure out a way to, you know, keep me engaged in the talky talk. And then I start to look around at the podcast landscape of 2023, really started in 2021, this version of this landscape where people started to think they needed co-hosts. And I'm like, wow. Nowadays, you see 3 people on a podcast, 4 people on a podcast, 5, 6. I've seen 6 people on a podcast. And I'm like, yo, back in the day, that was impossible. Not to make it seem like I'm like, you know, the Howard Stern of podcasts here. But back in the day, that was unheard of. And not only was it unheard of, the version of podcasting that is today is just friends hanging out. There's really no knowledge being disseminated. There's not food for the soul, really, that you can get and glean and take with you for the rest of the day or the rest of your life, for that matter. And so I start to watch the landscape shift and shake and think, and I'm just one of these people where I do not like doing something that everybody else is doing. I hate doing what everybody else is doing. It really bothers me. And I don't want to sound like I'm just some, you know, hipster, but I really just don't like it. Because once everybody's doing something, that means that communicates to the powers that be that there is money to be made in that thing. And that really bothers me. That's why I like writing and reading so much, because everybody's afraid of it. Everybody's afraid of reading and writing. So I'm like, all right, I love reading and writing. Once everybody else starts reading and writing, once people start discovering books again, I'm done. It's like, oh no, they discovered how to read again. It's time for me to get out of here. Oh no, they discovered that it's very fun and important to be able to write and read. It makes you articulate. It makes you dangerous. Oh no, The powers that be are deathly afraid of an articulate person. Oh no, let's get out of here. Once people start realizing that, oh my God, head for the hills. Head for the hills. The world will change once people start realizing that. Wouldn't you know that it is incredibly powerful to be articulate, to be able to string together consciousness through your dialogue? Isn't that a crazy thing to realize? But I realized that we are all experiencing something through the internet. And I realized that because we're all experiencing things through the internet, how I interface with the internet is determined based upon what I view in the footprints that I leave while I'm here. Those are the things that end up determining my value in this space, not just as a writer, a reader, an interpreter, or an observer, but just as a human being. The value that I wish to create by being an individual experiencing this life objectively. And that is a problem that gets me into a lot of trouble, is that I discuss the things that I experience objectively. I do not have a dog in any fight. I once did have a dog in the fight. I once did have multiple dogs in multiple fights. That's a podcast episode for another day. But there were two things that I started to realize once you have dogs in fights, is that you have to pay attention to everything related to that dog. At least I did. I felt like I had to pay attention to everything related to that dog in a fight, the ideological dog. And then you start to recognize how unimportant, once again, all of these things actually are in the broad scheme of things. And when you observe life just as an objective observer without a single stake in what occurs, you start to just find more joy in the experience. I don't ever want to sound cliche when I say this, but life is really fun. I enjoy my life. And the reason why I enjoy my life so much and all the ebbs and the flows is because I wake up the same every day. And I believe that should be a goal for most people. It sounds reductive. It sounds simple. But I wake up just about feeling the same every day. And when it comes to life and all of its complexities, that's the least you can ask for. Not feeling a extreme version of sadness or an extreme version of happiness. Just, I feel the same. You want to feel the same. And in all of this, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I don't mean to come off as preachy in this episode back. My intent in this episode back is just to speak to you guys as a man seeking a transcendental experience by any means necessary, a man that is seeking utilitarian freedom, a man that is seeking freedom for his progeny, a man that is seeking freedom for his kin, for his friends and family as well. Those are all the things that I'm working toward every day, but in my own way, in a way that is mindful of my digital footprint, in a way that is incredibly conscious of the things that he is saying and the people that he is communicating with. All of these things are important to me. You know, as we evolve and change, we bring new life through our words. So we have to take the time to speak the things that are on our heart at the time in which we feel them. Speak truth. Use that truth to facilitate wisdom. Make meaning through your revelation. There are no such thing as contradictory thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to leave you with that. Every thought that you have is building upon an old one. And when you reject the thought, you do yourself a disservice. You must explore the thought, peel it apart, awaken it, look at it, stare at it, engage with it. Make those thoughts meaningful by having them possess a life of its own. That's how you grow. That's how you experience what it is to be a conscious being. So I'm going to leave you guys with that. We're at the 30-minute mark. Peace be upon you all. Keep an eye open for any updates from myself. Any updates, honestly, that are going to come, whether it's about my book or just other projects and blah, blah, blah. They're going to come to the podcast. You know, they're going to come while I have this channel to speak directly to the people that care about me. They're going to come through this. I'm probably not going to make any announcements on Instagram like that. Probably not going to make any announcement on any other social media platform. I don't have anything else but Instagram. And at some point in time, I'm going to get rid of that too. And it's just going to be this podcast, how I talk to people. But yeah, that's what I'm on. That's what I'm up to. That's where my mind is right now. My heart is. Peace be upon you guys, man. You are life in the human form. You are the universe becoming extremely conscious of itself. My name is Ryce Luca. I love you all.